Blessed Lord, God of wisdom and glory and might, and of truth eternal, we come before you humbly as imperfect creatures before our perfect Creator, praying that as we open your word today, that you would open our hearts and open our ears and our minds by the Holy Spirit, so that as we read and as we hear the meditation on your word, that we might be blessed with understanding. We pray as well that we might be blessed with the motivation of the Holy Spirit to use what we hear to enable us not only to put our trust more and more in the saving work of Christ our Lord, but also to live as witnesses the salvation so graciously given to us. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. So the passage that we're going to be reading from this afternoon is the very familiar Psalm 23, followed by John 10, verses 1 to 18. So first open your Bibles to read along with me to Psalm 23, which is on page 631 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So next we'll follow up with John chapter 10. Verses 1 to 18, that's on page 1235 in the Pew Bibles. John 10, where we hear Christ our Lord speaking about his role as shepherd. So we'll read the first 18 verses of chapter 10, but the text will be on verse 11. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." There we have the reading of God's Word. The sermon that we're about to hear was preached by Reverend Stephen DeHart of the Free Reformed Church of Baldivis in Western Australia. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the most beautiful documents ever written by man is a document that we hold dear in this Reformed Church, the Heidelberg Catechism. The Catechism begins with Lord's Day 1 in the following question: "What is your only comfort in life and in death?" And the answer begins this way: "That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." It's a beautiful question and a beautiful answer because it takes the truth of God's Word, the Gospel, and applies this truth to our hearts, assuring us that we are not our own, but that we belong to Jesus Christ. And we need to know that. We all try to be independent and to need no one. But the truth is that we are all vulnerable, and we all need someone. We need to belong to someone who knows us. We need to belong to someone who cares for us. And we need to belong to someone who loves us. We need also to belong to someone who is both willing and able to help us. And the comfort that we have is that all of us who confess and believe the truth that is in that Lord's Day 1, that first question and answer, all of us who believe that do belong to this someone. And that someone is no other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the Catechism doesn't make this stuff up, but it simply reflects what God Himself teaches us in His Word in the Bible. It is the truth that we love to confess with the words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "I shall not lack anything." It's the truth that the Scriptures teach us also in Isaiah 40, verse 11, where it says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." And it's also the truth that the Scripture passage that we have before us this morning, where the Lord Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So the Bible uses this picture of a shepherd with his sheep to describe to us the relationship of God, yes, of the Lord Jesus with his people. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. He knows us, he cares for us, and he loves us. And so I preach to you this morning, this afternoon, the blessed comfort concerning the shepherd and his sheep under the following theme: "The Lord is our shepherd, and we are his sheep." The first point, that he is the good shepherd, and the second, that he is our shepherd. So in our mind's eye, we can see him there, a shepherd in Israel, caring for his sheep. When the Lord Jesus described himself as the good shepherd, he used an illustration that the people not only knew from the Old Testament, but they also knew from everyday life. Shepherds and their sheep were a normal part of the landscape in Israel, with the sheep being raised for wool and for their milk and for their meat. It was hard work to be a shepherd, but a good shepherd would do his work well, and his sheep would follow him and would love him. Each shepherd would have a small flock, rarely over 100 sheep, and every morning he would go to the sheepfold and call them out. Now, the sheepfold was a holding pen, often built out of stone walls, where the sheep would be kept in safely overnight. Now, it was common for the sheepfold would hold more than one flock of sheep, and a doorkeeper would stay with the sheep overnight to protect them from wild animals and from thieves who would come in to steal and kill and to destroy. A good shepherd would know his own sheep, so much so that he would often have names for them, for each one of them. And so he would call to his sheep and then lead them to a place where there would be grass to eat and water to drink. The Lord Jesus used this illustration of a shepherd with his sheep to describe himself, who he is, and what he was willing to do for his sheep, the men and women and children that belonged to him. But when he began to speak about the shepherds with their sheep, the Pharisees to whom he was speaking, they didn't understand those spiritual truths that he was teaching them. They understood the words well enough since they all knew about shepherds and sheep, but they didn't understand how this was to apply. But there is a good reason for what the Lord said in John 10. He declared himself to be the good shepherd, in contrast to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders in Israel, who were not good shepherds, but false ones, hirelings, hired workers who had no love or interest for the sheep that were in their care. In John chapter 9, we get to learn that these Pharisees, what they were like and how they were treating the sheep. If we look back to the previous chapter there from what we just read, in John 9, the Lord Jesus had healed a man born blind, but the Pharisees were angry because he had done this on the Sabbath. The Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. And John 9:22 says that they were determined to put those who confessed that Jesus was the Christ out of the synagogue. That is, they would excommunicate them and declare that they had no part in the community of Israel, or indeed even in the kingdom of God. And with respect to this man who had been born blind but had been healed by the Lord Jesus and could now see, the Pharisees became angry at him for saying that the Lord Jesus must be from God. And after a long and hostile interrogation, they threw him out. They excommunicated him. Jesus knew this, and the actions of the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders both grieved and angered him. The Pharisees were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, but they were not true shepherds. Rather, they acted like hirelings, and even worse, they harmed the sheep and scattered them. The Bible describes these false shepherds and the harm that they cause, not just in John chapter 9 and chapter 10, but also in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord declared himself to be the true shepherd in contrast to the false shepherds, the priests and Levites, the priests and leaders of Israel. It'd be good for us to look back at Ezekiel 34 to read about these false shepherds, as well as about God, the true shepherd, and his words to them. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 to 4 reads, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them." And then looking at verses 7 to 10, also in Ezekiel 34. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding my sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may be no longer food for them." And now what the Lord Jesus is saying in John 10 to the Pharisees is that these words applied to them. They were the false prophets. They were the hirelings. They were those who had come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But that's not all. Because in contrast to the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus did not point to God the Father in heaven, but he pointed to himself. He said, "I am the good shepherd." So reading on Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 16, the Lord Jesus was effectively saying, what you read there is fulfilled in me. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16 says, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks his flock on the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them to their own land. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but I will destroy the fat, the strong, and feed them in judgment." So do you see what the Lord Jesus was doing when he declares himself to be the good shepherd? He's telling the Pharisees that not only did he come from God, but that he himself is God. He was telling the Pharisees that the shepherd that the Old Testament spoke of had now come to gather his sheep. The Pharisees didn't believe it, but now they understood what the Lord Jesus was saying to them. And this is why the Jews said to him in John 10:33, "For good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being man, made yourself God." So the Pharisees understood. But do you understand it? And more, do you believe it? We read together from Psalm 23, from those well-known words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But to whom do these words refer? Who is the Lord and who is my shepherd? It is the Lord, spelled with capital letters in the Bible, that is the one who in the Hebrew language was known as Yahweh, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is the God who revealed himself to Moses and to the people of Israel as "I am who I am." He is the God who chose a people for himself, who made his covenant with them, declaring to them and saying, "I am your God, and you are my people." This is the God of whom it says in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know the Lord," again capital letters, "He is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And now in John 10, the Lord Jesus is saying, those Old Testament passages that speak about the Lord as your shepherd, those passages are speaking about me. Jesus Christ is the I am who I am. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit, one only true God. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you believe the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the good shepherd? Is it your only comfort in life and in death that you belong with body and soul to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Is that your comfort? In John 9, verses 35 to 38, it says that the Lord Jesus found that man who had been born blind but was healed by him. He found the man after he had been cast out by the Pharisees, those false shepherds. And he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is speaking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said in John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." We know him. We believe that he himself is God, the great I am. We believe that he, the Lord, is our shepherd, and that we are his sheep. Therefore, but there is more. This shepherd, the good shepherd, is the one good shepherd, whereas the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of Israel were mere hirelings, bad and false shepherds. The Lord Jesus is good. He knows his sheep. He calls them each by name. He tends to his flock. He cares for them. He leads his flock out and he feeds them. To apply the words of Psalm 23 to our Lord Jesus Christ, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And in verses 4 and 5, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So you see the difference between the Lord Jesus and the Pharisees, the difference between the good shepherd and the hireling, the one who does not truly care about the sheep. And Jesus says, I am that shepherd. I care for you. I protect you. I am with you, always with you, and I love you. And the reason we know this to be true is because of what he, the good shepherd, has done. It says in the second half of John 10, verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And there we see that the Lord Jesus is no ordinary shepherd. A regular shepherd, a good one that is, would love his sheep and he would care for them. And to an extent, when thieves or wild animals came, he'd even risk his life for the sheep. But he would never lay down his life for his sheep. He would never choose to give up his own life in the place of the lives of his sheep. But that is what our Lord Jesus had come to do. He had come to lay down his life for his sheep. In John 10:15, it says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. In John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That's what the Lord had come to do, and that's what he would do. His death would not be an accident, nor would it take the Lord Jesus by surprise. Rather, the Lord Jesus had come to this earth, and now he was on his way to Jerusalem in order to lay down his life, to die for the sake of his people. All that Jesus said and did during his life here on earth was with that end goal in mind, to lay down his life for his sheep. So it is in this way that, to quote another part of the Catechism's question answer 1, he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. The Pharisees were angry with the Lord Jesus, angry that he called them hirelings and announced that he was the good shepherd, making himself equal with God himself. But if the Pharisees and we were to follow the Lord Jesus from that point to the time that he went to the cross of Calvary, the time that the shepherd was seen also to be the Lamb, then they and we would see that truly this is the Son of God. He is the Good Shepherd. And not only that, but he is our Shepherd, which we'll look at further in the second point. The most wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus being the Good Shepherd is that this Shepherd is ours. He is our Shepherd, yours and mine, and the shepherd of all those who have received him, who believe in his name. We confess this and embrace this whenever we sing from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This is what we believe and hold on to in faith. For true faith, to quote another part of the Catechism, question answer 21, true faith is a firm confidence that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. So that we can say, he gives this also to me, because I belong to him, because he is my shepherd, and I am one of his sheep. He knows us, and he guides us, he cares for us, he loves us individually, one by one. It says in John 10, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The good shepherd says that he knows your name. He knows who you are. He cares for you. He makes you to lie down in green pastures and leads you beside the still waters. He's not a hireling. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd loves you. He cares for you and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be there in every circumstance and in every situation. Indeed, whenever we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. To quote further from that Lord's Day 1, he also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. And how do we know that? It is, John 10:13 teaches us, because he cares for his sheep. Yeah, he cares so much that he has laid down his life for his sheep. Indeed, it was when we were still stuck in sin that Christ died for us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for us. And as it says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Therefore, we need not fear. The Lord is our shepherd and we are his sheep. It's true that in the providence of God, accidents happen and God's children may even die. But nothing can separate the sheep from their shepherd. John 10 verses 27 to 29 say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And he loves his sheep. Yeah, even foolish and stubborn and disobedient sheep, such as you or I. He will lead us on. And he will be with us, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself. But there's one other thing that I wish to point out to you from John 10. And that's that the Lord is not only our shepherd personally, but he is also our shepherd collectively. The Lord Jesus did not simply die for one or two or three stray wandering sheep, but he laid down his life for his flock. And that means that we not only belong to the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, but we belong to one another. We are a part of the flock, a part of that fold, a part of the covenant community that God was determined to have from the very beginning. And that's also the work of the Good Shepherd. John 10:16 says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What a blessing it is that we, God's sheep, have been gathered together as one flock under the one shepherd. And we know that one day the shepherd will come back for his sheep. And then it will be, Revelation 7:15 to 17 says, that we will be together before the throne of God, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among us. Where it says, we shall never hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike us, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd us and lead us to the living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. What a glorious truth it is that the Lord, our shepherd, is our shepherd, and that we are his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.